Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm broadcasting a little off time today because I'm in L.A., and it just seemed like a good time to do it because everybody's still sleeping. We had daylight savings time last night, and because I'm still on New York time instead of L.A. time, I'm up and about, and I've had breakfast, and we thought, let me get this done and get it out there, and you can all listen to it early or later or whenever. So this is the weekly weather report. Today, instead of my bright red desk, I'm sitting here in a beautiful backyard with Jake the Wonder Dog, who's very cute, and enjoying the marine layer over L.A. It's not sunny yet because it's still bright and early in the morning. What we do here on the weekly weather is we talk about what's going on in the week ahead so you can use the energy productively and you can figure out how to handle what it is you really want to accomplish this week by using the planetary aspects in a good and productive way. And we actually have a really rocking and rolling week. We've had a lot of emotions and a lot of feelings and deep things coming to the surface in February. And now in March, we get to actually take action on them. Mercury is in the sign of Aries, and he's running Mars because Mars is in Virgo. So we're really in the mood to kind of kick butt and take no prisoners and do stuff and just go, go, go. Now, this week, Mercury actually stops and goes backwards. He's going to be doing what we call retrograde, which is a phenomena that happens about three times a year. He stations this week, and he goes, which means we're feeling it, you know, and since the beginning of March, when he entered his shadow, or when he entered Aries, actually, we've been learning new things. So now we're going to decide what we want to do about them. So Mercury stations on Monday. Actually tonight, middle of the morning, and 3:49 in the morning tonight. But what he does when he goes retrograde is he asks us to reevaluate things. And one of the things we find with Mercury, he likes to trick us. He likes to make us think. And his job is to really encourage us to think and to see things in a new light and to help us grow. Because, you know, everything exists in the sky to support our ego, our sun, our solar purpose on Earth. Your chart is your chart, and if you look at your chart, your sun sign, the sun sign is very much your direction in life, your purpose in life, what you're here to do, what you're here to accomplish by the sign and by the house placement. All the other planets support that activity. But the mind, which is really our ideas, our visions, our thoughts about what we can actually accomplish, is ruled by Mercury. And so he's really important because, you know, that whole story when you were a little kid, the little engine that could, you know, or the little engine that couldn't. If you think you can, you can. And if you think you can't, you can't. Mercury is really about what we think we can accomplish, what we can actually believe is possible for us, what we think is available, what we dream of, not like from our desire nature, but from our intellectual, gee, wouldn't it be nice to someday do bup bup. And then the other planets go, yeah, yeah, it would be. And then they go around getting it done, right? But Mercury, as the messenger of the sun, as the messenger of, as the brother of the sun, Apollo, and as the messenger of Jupiter, our connection and our relationship to the outer world, and as the messenger, really, of the gods, he's how we interact with other people, how we communicate, what we say it, what we think, how we think it, whether we're happy, whether we're sad. And he's very much about the communication process and how we go about it and what we do to get there and what our vision is. So this week he stops in Aries and he's running Mars because Mercury's in charge of Mars right now. And all the Gemini planets and the Virgo planets, we're all reversing now. All those Gemini and Virgo planets are all going to go backwards for a few weeks. You know, they do that every now and then to help you reorganize. Virgos love to reorganize and to help you think and sort your data. And Geminis love their data and their books. So, but on a mundane level, on a personal level, what this trine is, this retrograde is for, is Mars is also going to be in a trine to Jupiter and Pluto this week. So Mars, as he goes backwards, is going to say, you know, I've been thinking about something. And I think what we maybe want to do is, and he's talking to Jupiter and Pluto, who are in a trine, which is fleeting. This is it. This is the trine this week. So Jupiter and Pluto are going to hear what Mars has to say and are then going to adjust or not adjust, as the case may be. Now, I've been reading Young's book on dreams and whatever. I got a Nook, so I've been having a lot of fun downloading things on my Nook. And he was talking about when you have a numinous experience, when you have the vision of what you really want, if you have the idea of what you're trying to accomplish, that whole connection is very much about interacting and interconnecting with other people and with the greater world. And so that the vision of that interconnection is really, really important. And how we get there and how we use it. So Mercury as a communicator, as a connector, relator, he's very much about that process of connecting and relating and teaching us how to go forward. And this week, because Mars is going backwards, he's going to talk to Jupiter and Pluto and say to them, hey, guys, you know, I had a really good idea. And, you know, I've been working really hard since November on figuring out what it is I want to do with my life or what I want to do for the next patch of my life. And I think I have it. And I think it requires me changing a few things, which he's going to do between now and the end of April. And then let's put it in place and go. But this week he's going to talk to the big guys, Jupiter and Pluto, about it. And Jupiter and Pluto actually form their trine. So we're going to have a grand trine in Earth with Mars going backwards and the sign of Virgo answering to Mercury and Aries going backwards. So it's kind of a double negative. So very often when we have a double negative in the sky, or a double negative in English, remember, double negatives is actually a positive. So take the double negative that shows up in your life this week and work with it as a guide. The double negative is, what do I want? And when we were looking at, I was reading Jung and Freud yesterday, Jung on Freud. He, you know, he talked about his relationship with Freud, and he said he realized that Freud got stuck in one view of the unconscious and how the unconscious worked, as opposed to understanding it's actually a numinous experience, that there's a whole range of possibilities for experiences, and that our job is to allow those experiences to really happen and to look at the full range of them, to not sit in our assumption of what it is that we really want. Now, what happens when Mercury does this kind of tricking thing is he very often takes something to the extreme so that you go, ain't no way I'm doing that. You know, when I was younger, I was listening to a progressive radio host, and he had a pro-abortion guy, anti-abortion guy. He was a pro-choice guy. And I'm eating lunch one day and having a nice, pleasant lunch. And he's got this guy on, and he says to him, so, like, you know, so you're going to outlaw abortions, and, you know, what are you going to do to the doctors? He said, well, I'm going to throw them in jail. And the host goes, okay, and what are you going to do to the women that get the abortions? And he goes, nothing. We're not going to do anything to the women. We're just going to throw the doctors in jail. You know, the deliverers dead or incapacitated, no abortions are going to happen. So the host goes, he said, well, if I hired you to kill my wife and you killed her, I should go to jail too because I hired you to kill her, right? And the guy goes, right. And I'm like turning around looking at the radio. My lunch is now kind of frozen in my, you know, in the tape plate before me. And he goes, so why wouldn't you punish the women too? And I went, wow, I never thought of that. And the guy, the pro-choice guy, pro-anti-abortion guy, whatever he was, the anti-choice guy, goes, you know, I never thought that. You're right. We probably should punish the women. And I was like, shit, man. I sat down and wrote a check to Planned Parenthood later that day. Not that they provide that many abortions, but they do. I was like, I got to support this. And I wrote a check to NARAL, which is the National Abortion Rights Act, because I thought, you know, I couldn't do it myself personally, but I also don't feel I can impose that on others, and I certainly don't want women going to jail because they decide that they can't carry another child to term. But it was like one of those crystalline moments, because what he did was he pulled it out to the end to make you look at it from a whole different perspective. Now, with Mercury in Aries retrograde and Mars in Virgo retrograde, what's going to happen is something like that this week. The universe is just going to take some situation that you have been dawdling and delaying on, or been trying to figure out, or been working on, and haven't really been able to make a decision on. Or perhaps it's going to push you to see a situation in a way you never saw it before. Because there's this whole energy this week around helping you see things that you never saw before from a new perspective, from a new point of view, from a new way of thinking about it, kind of a cosmic aha moment. And then once you have the aha, Mars is going to go, shit, man, I can't do that. That can't happen. And he's going to back up, right, go backwards, backwards, backwards. until April 15th, and then he's going to go forward again. Now, what will happen is he stations and goes backwards in fire. He's going to be in fire for a few days, and then he's going to go back into water at the end of the month, which is going to make us all really emotional and messy, like he was a couple weeks ago when he was in water and we were all emotional and messy and we wanted to climb in our beds. But he's about letting you understand that when an old cycle ends, we can't release the old cycle. We can't go forward on the new cycle unless we know how we want to release the old cycle. And we have to figure out where we want to stand, right? Like, we have to know, like, if I'm agreeing to release a life choice that I've made, I can't abandon it unless I know where I'm going. I can't abandon it unless I exchange it for another. Nature abhors a vacuum, you know. So a lot of times when people are like, well, I'm in this relationship, I kind of hate him, I really don't like him, but, you know, I really can't leave. I'm always like, look, you got to get him out or her out. Because the new one can't come in. You got him parked in the spot. And people go, well, no, I'm dating on the internet. I'm like, yeah, but you got part of your foot in that other relationship. Part of your body's in there. Part of your soul's in there. And on some level, you haven't figured out what you want from that one. So until you figure that one out, you're really not free to go on to a new one. Which is why a lot of times people have affairs. Because they know the old relationship isn't really working. And they go, well, you know, I cheated. I'm like, no, see how partner didn't have anything on your thing there? You know, that planet was unattended to. And it was lonely and it went and found somebody. You needed this for this reason. You know, they don't just happen in a vacuum. People don't, they're ambivalent. They don't want to leave existing. They want to go forward, but they can't let it go. So they set up a situation where they get caught unconsciously, consciously, whatever. They get caught. And then the relationship blows up, or they get to make a choice. They get to face it. Do it consciously this week, folks. Don't let it happen unconsciously. Stand in your truth. Stand in your understand that the unconscious has a top and a bottom, an inside and an outside. When you're acting in an unconscious way and you're doing something that's not good for you and you know it's not good for you, what your job is to say, well, it's really not unconscious because I know it's not good for me. Let me go explore it and see what the other sides are. Rather than just sitting here on the outside of the unconscious, let me go in. Let me look at the inside of it. Why am I doing this behavior? Why am I in this situation? Look at the top because there's a top. Look at the bottom because there's a bottom. Walk around it. It's got a siding. It's not like a hidden thing, you know, my unconscious motivations, I don't know what they are. It's like you can work on this. You can pull the little strings and see what the motivation is. And understand that the whole point of being in relationships with people, any kind of relationship we have, is to help us become more conscious. Because through the mirror of another person, through a mirror of other relationships with other people, we get the connect. We understand why we're doing something. You know, what that's for. And the other person shows it to us on a whole different level. We see it in a different way. And our job as people, we don't have to do a whole lot, really, as people. We have to become conscious. And the more conscious we become, the easier our life is. Because we understand the choices we're making. We understand why we're making them. We understand, one, that we even have a choice. A lot of times, people don't think they have a choice. Well, this week, let me tell you, Mercury is going to let you know you have a choice. Now, you can choose not to choose it, and that's totally cool. But the Grand Trine in Earth this week will make it very easy for you to at least see it, understand it, get it on a new level. And then once you've gotten it, then say, okay, I get it on a new level. Now I'm really ready for what that new level means. Because it does mean something, too. We, you know, the planet, as Tony Kushner says in Angels in America, the earth spins forward. We don't go backwards. You know, and as I've been watching the presidential debates and all the craziness about limiting abortion or limiting birth control for women, I'm kind of like, what's going on here? Because when people feel afraid, they clamp down, they get conservative. But the aspects that are coming up, the Uranus square Pluto, we're going to be living with for the next 5-6 years, as these guys start to really square each other, we're going to really see, do we want conservative, do we want freedom? Do we want freedom, do we want conservative? What's our vision of where we're headed? What's our vision of what we want to do? How we want to do it? And this week, with that grand trine in Earth, we're going to get it on a really fundamental level, okay? And as Mercury stations. Of course, usual Mercury station issues, back up your computer, you know, you're going to lose your cell phone, whatever. You know, Mercury rules communications, double check that they put the milk in with your in your coffee before you get in the car and start driving away, because people don't hear when Mercury stops. So that, of course, is the first couple days of the week. And then as we move forward in the week, we get into a little more of a visionary energy and how we're going to get there. So the beginning of the week, the moon is in Scorpio. It goes void on Monday at around 2:30 in the afternoon. And it's Eastern time, of course. It's void for the rest of the day. And then at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning on the 13th, Tuesday, it goes into Sag. The closing aspect for Monday is a lovely trine to the sun. So this is a good week. You know, moon trines the sun in Pisces, Scorpio moon, so it's very emotional, very deep, very personal, very connected. Then the Sag energy is the moon in Sag, which is, of course, teaching, wisdom, running. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I will tell you, or Tuesday, Wednesday, I will tell you you're going to be really, really, really busy this week because that Sag moon, and there's a whole pile of activities going on with the moon and Venus and Mars and Jupiter. Everybody's talking this week. It's a big talking week. Closing aspect for that is a sextile to Saturn for the Tuesday and Wednesday activities, so those will be very productive and make them visionary, make them higher form, make them the dream that you want to go forward towards. Then the Thursday, Friday, the moon is in Capricorn. Thursday is really busy. Friday is kind of more quiet, gets you a little time to recoup after the week. And the closing aspect is a square to Saturn. So Thursday, Friday is releasing things, letting things go, saying, I'm done with this, that's finished, I'm done with this, that's finished. The weekend has St. Patrick's Day, and it kind of has some weird aspects. So, you know, just be a little careful on St. Patrick's Day because it is a Saturday. It tends to be a little bit of a party weekend, at least in New York City. And so people will be a little more wild and crazy because Mercury is in Aries going backwards. Mars is in a grand trine with Jupiter and Pluto. So it's physical, it's emotional, it's action-taking. It's kind of a lot of stuff going on. The closing aspect for that is a square to Saturn, so it's hard energy. Then the moon is in Aquarius on Saturday and Sunday, which is always fun. And Aquarius moon has, of course, a trine to Saturn, which is highly productive. So this is a really productive week. The middle 2 days of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for releasing, but Tuesday, Wednesday for creating, very good aspects, huge, profound time. This is one of the weeks you're going to kind of think of as one of the more important weeks in the year. Going to be a lot of offers made, a lot of ideas shared, a lot of opportunities given to you, and take them, you know, say yes to them if they match your plan or they match your vision of what you want. Understand that part of what this whole week of consciousness is tied to is really focusing on the bigger vision of your life, because Jupiter and Pluto are life planets. They're collective planets. It's your contribution to the world, not just necessarily your local family. So the energy is very tied to that kind of stuff. And then if we look at the planets, what they're doing, let me get my little sheet up here. I got my notes. Always goes so fast. I only have 10 minutes left. Okay, so the sun this week goes from 16 Pisces to 21, and he has a semi-square to Venus, so there's a little bit of energy around not feeling particularly happy, and I take that back because I'm looking at last week's stuff. Well, that's not good. Let's go to this week's stuff. I did not print that sheet out. Okay. Ah, Mercury stationing. I'm good I didn't give you last week's stuff again. I'm like, wait, that's last week. Okay, so this week on Monday, Mercury stations retrograde. So it's going to be a slightly different order. We're going to do it in day order. Mercury stations retrograde on the 12th, and he goes backwards. The only aspect on Sunday is a moon trine the sun, which is a very productive, creative aspect in the water. So high-feeling day, high-feeling, high-emotion, high, you know, connection. Of course, it's daylight savings time, so we're all going to need to go to bed because we did it. Adjusting our clocks forward last night, so we lost an hour of sleep. On Tuesday, the moon is in Sag, so we find that Jupiter trines Pluto that day. Okay, now this happens once every 12 years, so this is a biggie. And Jupiter and Pluto are both in Earth, productive. They're both moving forward, productive. They both want to create something. They both have a vision of wanting to get something done. Moon in Sagittarius goes through and squares Neptune and Uranus, trines Uranus and trines Mercury. So the fire moon excites the visionary planets, the change planets, and the action-taking planets. So you're going to be in the mood to take action and do something, and you know, that kind of energy. Then the moon squares Mars in the evening on the 13th, which is very much an energy of emotional, you know, arguments or feeling crabby. Moon in Sag is a little overdoing, too. And Mars in Virgo, you can overdo a bit on that day. And then, of course, Venus trines Pluto because she is in an Earth sign, too. I forgot to add her to the Earth trines because she's in Taurus, and she's going to join up with Jupiter. And she trines Pluto on Tuesday night. Then on Wednesday, Moon's in Sag, last quarter aspect. So it's culminating a story. Venus joins with Jupiter, and then she trines Mars later in the day. And so Venus is forming a grand trine in Earth 2 with the gang. Okay, so she goes through it first, and then Mars comes behind her. Now remember, desire comes before action. We see something we want, we go get it. Right, we have an idea or a vision of what we're looking for, and we go, ooh, that looks delicious. Yeah, let me go for it. And so there's a whole visionary desire nature going on here with Mercury's consciousness. He's going to say, huh, my unconscious has an inside and an outside and a top and a bottom. Maybe I better look at those to see what they are so I'm connected and cool. Later on in the day, on the 14th, you have a barking dog in the neighborhood you're hearing here. Not Jake. Jake's quiet. He's wagging his tail by the door, waiting to go in. Mars trines Jupiter and Pluto in the afternoon on the 14th. Again, making the 14th one of the more pivotal days of the year. Because Venus trines first, Mars trines second. So if you've been waiting for an offer, you've been hoping to hear from somebody, you've been wanting a date, you've been looking to meet some cute guy or girl, you've been waiting for a job offer, you've been waiting to start some new process, that grand trine in Earth on Wednesday is incredibly powerful. And, of course, we feel it the couple days leading in and a couple days leaving. But especially if you have planets at 9 of the Earth signs, it's or 9 of any sign, is particularly powerful because it's tying into those planets. The 15th, which is the moon is in Capricorn, here the moon then squares all the desire Earth planets, the ideas, the consciousness. This is when we have the big aha moment, when the moon squares Capricorn and the moon squares Uranus and Mars, Mercury. Because Mercury and Uranus are kind of an explosive energy of new ideas, and a new vision of what you want to have happen, and a new thought form of how to do it. And so now that Mercury's going backwards, he's saying to you, well, you thought it was a great idea. That great idea you came up with on March 5th, not so great. Not really working for you, is it, big guy or big girl? And you go, well, no, not really. And he goes, well, change your mind. Get conscious. Understand there's a connection. When you have a numinous relationship with something, in other words, when you're in adoring state with something and you love something, you kind of tend to lose your mind. When you see it clearly, it doesn't mean you don't still love it, but you understand that there's a whole range of experiences. You know, one of the reasons I'm out here in L.A., is besides for a vacation, so no, I didn't tell anybody I was coming, because I wanted to just sit on the beach and read books. The other reason I'm out here is one of my good friends' sons is graduating from high school, and he is in a play. He's in Candide. And so there's which is a play written by Voltaire and with music by Leonard Bernstein. And so one of the things that it talks about is understanding this whole process of life, you know, and at the end of the thing, after he goes through all this stuff, goes through all this stuff and really conquers the world and conquers the direction and where we're going and what we're doing. And he goes, Candide's journey is our journey. And hopefully we'll realize, as Candide realizes, that life is neither bad nor good. Life is life. And it's all we know. Good and bad and joy and woe are woven fine. Okay? So understand that the life that you're living, the choices you're making, are all part of this consciousness, are all part of the action of the week, are part of giving yourself permission to really go forward with your life and to create the next direction and to come up with it. So then as the moon in Capricorn comes along on the 15th, and he comes into the trine with all those Earth planets, he comes to the Mars, he comes to the moon, or the moon comes to Mars, comes to Pluto, comes to Jupiter, what he does is he gives you a grounding, an emotional grounding in all the desires and the actions that you took the day before. Again, incredibly powerful week. This is one of the more powerful weeks of the year in terms of taking action and getting things done and accomplished. When we get to the 16th, the moon trines Venus late, early in the morning, so it's kind of a quiet day. This Friday the 16th, we're going to process and figure out what we actually do want, what our vision for ourselves is, where we really want to go. Because then we're into the much more mundane energy of having done all the work early in the week. We're going to be emotionally working on it and thinking about it. But don't be surprised if you change your mind or you feel like you're regressing or feel like you're going back. You're not really going back because Mars is going backwards and Mercury is going backwards. They're a double negative. What you're doing is you're getting aware of why you have to go back, that in the going back you pick up the new future, the forward, the direction, it's like a wonderful expansion and experience and direction that we go through. Then on Saturday, the 17th, the moon goes into Aquarius, and again, it has a visioning thing. It's very much about the ideas, the vision of where we want to go. It's an air moon. You know, we're used to those air moons. We're used to that idea energy. And so the air moon of the 17th and the 18th with a really lovely closing aspect of a trine helps us. And then, of course, Mercury comes to join with Uranus on Sunday the 18th. So we have an awakening. We have an aha moment. We see something we never saw before. We go, oh, wow. I never saw that before. And this is part two, okay? We have part one last week on the 5th. Part two is on Sunday, the 18th. And then we'll have a third one when Mercury goes direct and comes to Uranus again. So you're having a big awakening this week. Your consciousness is growing. Your unconsciousness is yielding up amazing things. The universe is going to present you with choices. It's probably going to be choices that are extreme, similar to the story of the abortion provider talking, or the abortion hater guy talking with the guy going, yeah, we should punish the women. And I'm like, shit, man, punishing the women, you know, who's controlling our bodies? You're going to have something like that where you have to, you'll see through the exaggeration, you'll see through the expanse, you'll see through the vision what all happens. So the British lady's speaking and she's saying, I'm done. Always goes so fast. At any rate, this is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York, waiting for the marine layer, don't I sound like I know what I'm doing? The marine layer to clear here in L.A. and for the sun to emerge. But, of course, with the marine layer, all the colors in the garden around me are vibrant and alive and popping. And remember, they are plants. They are part of our world. Your life can be alive and vibrant and popping, too. Just you have to make the decision. You have to go for it. You have to understand that that vision thing is where you're going. So take care. Have a great week. And I will talk to you next week from the Bright Red Desk. Bye-bye.